Next up, item four, science review update, Larry McKinney.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and members. For the record, I'm Dr. Larry McKinney, Director of Coastal Fisheries. What I want to talk to you about today is give you an update on the status of our science review, which we began back in early 2002, something like that. It's been an ongoing process, and it's a good opportunity, I think, to show you where we are and what we're doing and what we need to do on the process. First, let's start with a little background on why we need a science review process. It should be self-evident, but of course, it's always worth repeating that when we're dealing with resource issues, management issues that we do today, they seem to be more and more complex. I don't think they're actually more complex, but certainly the issues we deal with, as we gain understanding of these issues, we know they're more interlinked with other things, and so as you make decisions and understand that information, it's obviously more important that you do so. And clearly our goal is that when we are staff or standing in front of you or the legislature or the executive director and you have to make decisions based on the information that's presented in front of you, one of the issues for our agency, a science-based agency, is how good is the science? You need to have confidence in that science so that when you make those decisions, you can do so on the basis that's important. Of course, when controversial issues come up, the first thing that opponents will do in any situation, if they can, is to attack the science and say the science is not credible or whatever. And so one great advantage or one thing we've always strived to do is to try to minimize that as much as possible so you have that confidence in the science base in which we're moving forward on. So that was the reason that we felt we needed to do that science review. And so in thinking about designing it, I want to acknowledge Commissioner Montgomery's support and help in this. When this was a charge that Mr. Cook initiated, it was important to him when he first actually became executive director here for us to make sure that our science was sound and it was a cause that Commissioner Montgomery took up. And he was kind enough to introduce me and allow me to go out to the Stowers Institute in Kansas City. And Stowers Institute at the time, and I don't know what it is now, but at that time it had over $1 billion endowment. So this was a science-based organization that really had no resource limits on making sure it did good science. And so that's clearly what we'd like to, we picked their brains as for what we should do. And it's really not rocket science to make that design, but it was good to confirm with folks like that of where we were going and what we needed to do. And the core of our science review basically is the best defense of scientific credibility is a good offense, and that is an independent peer review. So that was the core function of our science review, what we really got at, to get an independent review from folks, credible scientists, of what we do and what we're doing. And so the process really is set up in this way. Of course, the first phase was to make sure our house was in order. We have an excellent process that all of our resource divisions go through as far as QA and QC, making sure our own procedures meet our standards and getting our data together. But that process, knowing we're going to have outside folks coming in and taking a look at our programs, at that time made us go back and make sure that it was in order. So obviously getting our own data and information together was an important part of that. The second phase was, in fact, the programmatic peer review, and we'll spend some time talking about it, so I won't say much here, but that is obviously making sure that we are fundamentally sound in our scientific approach and having independent scientists and experts affirm that or give us information and guidance as to how to make sure that it was. And, of course, a science review is no good unless you actually implement it. And that phase three implementation is really what we're in now and have been and will continue to do for some time to take a look at all those recommendations that came forward. And then the fourth phase is how do we establish an ongoing process? We don't want to do this just once. On a regular basis, we need to take a look at make sure our science is up to date and what periodicity do we need to use and what we need to look at is important. And then also a process for looking at those future challenges, because we don't want to come up against some issue that we have to make a decision on that we don't have the information on if we can help it. So taking a look at what's down the road in front of us is important so we can make decisions on what science we need to gather to be ready at that time. And that, of course, is a challenge to look down the road like that. Well, our peer review really broke into three parts at the time. We were fortunate in having the National Academy of Science bring them in to look at our water data and information at that time. At the time, of course, we had the Resource Protection Division was there and Inland Fisheries was participating in that as well. So that was one group that we brought in to look at our environmental sciences in particular. The Wildlife Management Institute, we engaged them to take a look at our wildlife and parks divisions, and the American Fisheries Society taking a look at inland and coastal fisheries divisions. And I would tell you that as far as I can tell, talking to others around the country, no one has ever done anything like this. And I'm still, to this day, when I talk to my peers and at professional meetings, others, they always express interest in it. Then they always say, I don't really know what I want to do this, because obviously, you know, it's never easy to stand up, you know, just basically expose yourself and say, well, come take a look at what we're doing and tell us if we're good or bad, because clearly that information, you know, it's a tough, but I know others are doing it, and it's a good process to have gone through once it's done. It's just perhaps not easy going through the process to some degree. So let's take a look at some of what we did. And basically what I'm doing is I took, back when we had finished the review, I gave a briefing to the commission back in 2005, I believe it was. And so I've taken parts of that to reproduce here, to kind of say, okay, here's what was found and here's what we did about it. This is what I'll go through. Coastal fisheries and inland fisheries, the American Fisheries Society, and National Academy of Sciences were the groups that looked there. And I've picked out a few examples of things to talk about. One of the areas that, of course, we appreciated the kind words from the commission, from the peer review, that they thought we were basically sound in our procedures and monitoring and so forth, was a leader. In fact, we're leaders in the country in a lot of things. But like any good auditor, they're going to find something to help you improve on, and that's what we expected. So that's what I'll follow up on. Three examples, for example, there. One, they talked about our programs, monitoring programs. In the inland side of it, they basically made some recommendations that inland should probably take a look at increasing their level of routine-type monitoring, if you will, or focused monitoring, and put resources to that program. On the coastal side, they actually, where we've had a very extensive monitoring program, they actually told us perhaps we ought to back off a little bit and take a look, because we were spending so much time on the monitoring program itself, we weren't really analyzing all this information as well as we could, all the information we were getting. We had so much information that we ought to make sure that we're looking at the forest for the trees. So take a look at what you can do to make use of that data, because it was very extensive. And so we're trying to respond to that. And I want to talk to that for a moment about how important these monitoring programs are. We got a little bit of that. You all got a little bit of that yesterday in talking about what we know and don't know about turtles and management, and how valuable that information can be, and how difficult and disconcerting it can be when you don't have that information. So the value of these programs are inestimable, but they're very difficult to perpetuate. Many programs, for example, coastal resource programs look like this in the data. They don't really have as much as they need or to make decisions. And what you really would want to look for, when you have this kind of information, you can make sound decisions. I had the opportunity, I suppose it's called opportunity, to go to Alabama just a few weeks ago, because they're dealing with the situation now as far as they're in their legislature. In fact, it's on the floor today in Alabama, whether or not to ban gill nets in the state. That's the one state left that still uses gill nets. And it's a very contentious topic, as you might expect, and I got more involved in it probably than I wanted to. I don't know if I can go back to Alabama anymore after this, but at any rate, the problem was, and the concern is, they actually have good data there, and they don't have long-term monitoring program, but they have some good data, but there was not any confidence in that data amongst many groups, so they had never gone through any kind of peer review or anything like that, as for example. So the debate came down to, is your data good or not? And so it really detracted from the overall policy decision of whether we should have gill nets or where our emphasis should be, rather than, that's where it should be, rather than on the data. But that example brought home to me how important and how valuable our own peer review and our own programs have been to keep us out of those arguments, or raises above them at least. Probably the most significant outcome of the science review was, in fact, the taking of our resource protection division at the time and blending it into coastal and inland fisheries, because one of the recommendations that came out of the science review was that we needed to be more holistic in how we looked at management, to look at this ecosystem-based management approaches, to make sure that we're not just looking at fish populations, but we're looking at issues that affect them, be it water quality or water quantity, inflows and in-stream flows. And we were doing that as an agency, but we were doing it in compartments, in separate divisions. And so the idea was that we need to integrate these issues better. And so that was one of the results of the science review, was to take a look at and how we could take the Resource Protection Division at the time and move it into those two divisions and build that capacity. And I will tell you that I think it has worked and is working as we expected it would. And another area, a third area in the fishery side, is taking a look at our hatchery programs. There has been, for example, in the marine side in particular, debates back and forth amongst groups for how valuable our hatcheries can, what's the role of a hatchery, or can you achieve as much through management or this type of thing, what do they actually contribute? And that question really hasn't been answered, and so we decided to answer it. And the Science Review folks suggested that we did. So we went to A&M and Dr. Gold at A&M, who's a world-renowned geneticist, and have designed a program to take a look at just what how our hatchery stockings are affecting natural populations. And it's amazing what you can do these days with these genetic things. For example, from just a simple fin clip from one of our fish taken at random in any of our bays, we can tell you whether it was a wild stock or from hatchery stock. And not only can we tell you if it was a hatchery stock, we can tell you from what pair of fish that fish came from in the brood ponds. It's just incredible. And so some preliminary results, for example, and it varies, and we're looking at this very interesting Galveston Bay, for example, from 7 to 9% of the fish, redfish in Galveston Bay, they're from hatcheries. Now in Aransas Bay, it's less than 1%. And so we're taking a look at that and using that as part of our analysis of what we want to do in management perspective. So it was a good project and came out of the science review. On the inland side, again, similar that we needed to make sure that we were using good science to make a decision on how and where we stock fish. And as you can see from the notes here, quite detailed, that inland took that to heart and really revamped their whole process of how they tracked stocking and what they did. And they feel much more comfortable now and that they can defend what they do and how they stock their fish and where they do so. So that has been an excellent program and a result of the science review program. One of the most interesting, and of course, again, that's another issue that's up before the House right now in HB3 somewhere, sitting within a House, the whole environmental flows bill, and so that's there now. One of the things that we did as part of the science review is to take a look at our program, so we're able to take the National Academy of Sciences to come in and look at our base programs, and they did an excellent job. They did compliment our groups on what we did. Of course, this is the unique part about this review is that it involved not just our agency, but two other agencies as well, TCEQ and the Water Development Board. So it was a partnership in that respect. And of course, they recognized some of the things we've done, but gave us some comments as to what we should do to improve those. Oops. And we're moving forward on that. I will tell you now, everything that has been recommended by the National Academy of Sciences is being incorporated into our programs, and they're moving forward. We're just now waiting for the direction from the legislature to apply those in a way that's meaningful, and we hope that we get the opportunity to do that. On the wildlife and park side, the Wildlife Management Institute was the group that came forward on that. And again, it was always nice to hear kind words from the reviewer that basically they thought we were sound and we had improvements we could make. And they looked at some areas there where we should perhaps make some changes in survey methods, as it says here, and others. And I would tell you that the Wildlife Division really took that to heart, as has been working on that ever since. And a couple of comments specifically of where they should look at our methods for sampling different species and so forth. Now, what I've done following this here is that when I asked Mike Berger to give me some examples, I got reams of things. So it's very pleasing that, in fact, that they have done that. I had not actually even realized to the extent to which they have been reviewing their programs to make sure that they follow some of this guidance. So when you take a look at what they've done in their deer surveys, I'm just going to kind of scan through these because to save time, but clearly if you have any questions, Mike better be back there in the audience, or someone, I know that they are, but we can do that or later, just if you want more details. But just to give you a cutting of some of the things that they've done, it's been quite extensive, not only how they've done the survey, some surveys, of course, these are all deer examples with deer here, but that's not the only area they've looked at, the mourning doves. So going through the list of programs they've modified, dropped, or changed is very impressive, and I think has certainly and is increasing our confidence, and should increase your confidence in the science base of the decisions that obviously they bring forward for you to make. go to this one. So finally, to wrap this up from us, future issues, well, of course, getting a crystal ball out to take a look at where you're going to go down the road is sometimes difficult, but one area we know that we're going to be more involved in, as always, is in water issues and those types of things. So the focus of where we will be looking for emphasis on future science reviews will be on those programs that have impacts on what we're doing with water in anticipation of some important decisions to be made down the road. To give you one example, on our freshwater inflows, for example, we were fortunate to have sought out and just recently been awarded monies from the EPA's Gulf of Mexico program to bring all the top folks, people, scientists, and researchers in the country and from around the world, actually, to talk about freshwater inflows, to take a look at how best we can move forward on determining what inflows we need to sustain the health of our estuaries. And we'll be doing that next year, so I'm excited about that. As kind of a first step in taking a look at our own means and methods to make sure that they are truly up to date, which I know that they are. So that's a focus for what we'll be going on our review in the future. With that, Mr. Chairman and members, I'll certainly, if there's any questions or comments, I'll try to address those. But I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about it. And again, recognizing and appreciating Mr. Cook's leadership in setting this up when he did. And I think it has paid benefits that we will all enjoy for many years to come. So, thank you.
Any questions, Lou?
Yes.
John?
Up in McKinney, I thought that the frame, I don't know the exact number of it, under your summary of significant findings common to inland and coastal fisheries review, if you could flip back to that.
You tell me I think I know where you're at, but.
Whoop.
Is that it?
Nope. Nope. Go forward. Nope. That. Right there. Right there.
Okay.
I found quite fascinating the lower one under coastal fisheries, that CS should increase its efforts to understand the relationship between resource status and habitat,
mm-hmm.
and CF should increase its emphasis on habitat and non-recreational species. I thought it was quite coincidental that, and more than a coincidence, that statement that you made there is such a forward-thinking statement, and that it should coincide with the recent publication of Bruce Franklin's book that I shared with you,
mm-hmm.
The Most Important Fish in the Sea. You're dead on target with your those two statements there on the bottom, and what I hope we can do is make further investigation using Mr. Franklin's arguments in this fine book that he has written, and yeah. I want to tell everybody that it took me 2 weeks to read this book. He read it in one night.
I didn't get much sleep on it. Actually, in the book, and I never preached, by the way, those statements actually come out of from our reviewers telling us to do that, but we certainly support them. The book that Commissioner Parker is referring to is The Most Important Fish in the Sea, which is about the menhaden fishery and that type of thing, And I got to reading the book and I couldn't really put it down because it was very telling. I learned a lot from that, and I will tell you from that perspective, we're going to be taking a look at that fishery and that industry here in Texas. And,
right, and the fact that we allow so many of those, that most important fish in the sea, to be taken out of our Texas waters. And
800 then, million pounds out of Gulf waters or something along those lines.
Devastating.
That will be on our list. Yes, sir.
Very good.
Thanks, Larry. I commend you for getting that work done. You're going to get an opportunity to use a lot of it at Senate Bill 3 passes because we'll be doing this freshwater inflow studies in every basin. Oh, yeah.
Yes, question, Larry. I want to compliment you and Bob for the leadership in this because I think everything I've heard has put Texas in the forefront of the country. These practices, and that's something we certainly should support at the commission level. I'll tell the other commissioners, the Stoward Institute that Larry mentioned early in the process, he went up and reviewed with a Texan who runs the Stoward Institute this program, and this is a man who's built up research faculties of Nobel Prize winners, National Academy of Science members, and others, and got a glowing review of the whole methodology. So that was good enough for me to gain confidence in what we're doing. My question is, really two questions. One, have we fully implemented the recommendations from the initial round of reviews? And if not, when do we plan to do that? And two, how do we know going forward, when projects come to the commission or go out in public, to what standard they have been reviewed? And do we have some sort of branding or good housekeeping seal methodology we intend to use as we come forward with projects that's well known by the public that they met certain standards? Spotted tree, sea trout, for example, we got to that point in the public debate. We had the whole confidence question going there. Mm-hmm. And I think the rigor of the process did allow us to make a tough policy decision, make a sound long-term conservation practice implementation. How do you see us doing that going forward in both a visible way and a way which the commission will recognize and which sets the standard for the professional staff to adhere to when they bring something forward?
As far as where we are, the first question, where we are on implementation, we're still in that because making changes of the nature we're talking about will take some time, some programs quicker than others and so forth. So I think we're substantially through with that first set of recommendations that were there and are in the process of implementing that and three quarters of the way through or something like that. So I'm very, very happy with that. We're to the point where we can look at other programs or come back and look at these programs again and say, okay, is there something particular here we need to look at, like the water program, water data, and freshwater inflow, so that's there. As far as how to certify them, I guess that's what you, in some way, how we could certify them to make sure that those programs have been covered. As you asked, I'm not coming up with it except that I can see it still there, but I think some comments when we're making those presentations to you all in the commission, on the information based on that these programs have been through that review, I think it would be good for our constituents to know that too, that the information that's being used as a basis for recommendations has been vetted through that scientific review process. Simply making that statement or assurance would be one way to do it.
We see a lot of data, and I know a lot of times we can't have done that. I just think it would be important as things come up that we say we either have or haven't. Mm-hmm. So we acknowledge the difference.
It has been through some review process, a scientific review process, that in fact it's met those challenges.
Yeah, well, we're done.
That would probably be the easiest way to do it, just to make those kind of statements when we do that.
Right. Healthy discipline. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think your suggestions are certainly worth considering. You know, in many cases, this science boils down to an art. And some judgment calls have to be made just because of the situation that we're in. But from the standpoint of this science review, and everybody in these divisions that we're talking about here agrees, you know, it's sort of like going through the state park audit. You all know that Doc kind of ventured there. But, you know, you improve, I believe, by having on a regular basis that outside review. You know, Wildlife Management Institute, for instance, has already hit us up again. They want to do it again. It's the only time they've ever done it. And they enjoyed it. They learned a lot from it. And they see it as an opportunity for a group like that across the nation to be involved with the agencies and state agencies and federal agencies. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that we just got to continue to do on a regular basis, identifying, you know, the statistical analysis of the data that we present. We're getting more and more in line with that to be able to show you the confidence intervals, you know, the mathematical confidence intervals we have. But at the same time, you have to incorporate that art, that judgment into that data. So.
Should it be our practice to have a 3 to 5 year review in each area? Just 5 years. Is it now that
that's the
worst thing? That's part of what we're discussing. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Larry.